To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the batch of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make things harder. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with their children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experience abuse at the hands of their own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who have aborted children, we remember them and you on this day. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed it for it to be. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envision lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who place children for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate you. Happy Mother's Day.
This is my favorite Ronti in the whole world. Thank you, Ronti. Happy Mother's Day. We are going into a new series here today. We're calling it Roots and Branches. And what we want to do is we want to talk in the next little bit about the importance of going deep, putting our roots into those areas of our spirituality that God wants us to go deep in, and branching out into the areas of our families, into the areas of our those areas that God wants us to be reaching out into, especially when it comes to the family life. And today, what an awesome way to start. And that is by starting by talking about mothers and how important they are to us. I was reading a little story written by Dr. James Dobson, and he tells of a mother who was sick in bed with the flu. And her daughter, her little daughter, wanted so bad to be a good nurse to her mother. So she made sure she was propped up properly. Her pillow was propped up properly. She brought her a magazine that she could read in bed. And then after a little while, she went and she brought her a wonderful cup of tea. And her mom was so surprised and said to her, "I didn't even know you know how to make tea." She says, "Mom, I've been watching you, and I watched how you make tea and how you put the water in the kettle and how you boil it, and then you put the tea leaves into the cup, and then after a while you strain it out and you make the tea. But Mom, I've got a confession to make. I couldn't find the strainer." And Mom goes, "Oh?" She says, "Yeah, but I used the fly swatter." And Mom was horrified. She says, "But Mom, I want you to know I didn't use your new one. I didn't want to wreck it, so I used the old one." You gotta love kids, huh? You gotta, that's so innocent, seriously. Just want to love on Mom. And you gotta love the fact when kids try to imitate you as a parent. Isn't it great? I loved it when my kids were really small and I was in church and they're watching me, they raise my hands or worship and how they imitated me. You know, it's a good thing to be imitating the one that we love. But see, here's the thing. It's so important that moms, you're imitating the right person as well. See, and I think that we need to imitate you, Mom, as you imitate Dad. And I'm not talking about Dad, I'm talking about our Heavenly Father. Are you living a life that reflects our Heavenly Father so other people can be watching you, especially your children, and let's be honest, even your husbands and others, that we can follow an example? I want to look at a verse found in Ephesians chapter 5. And actually, we're going to look at a number of verses here. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 to 17. Ephesians 5, 1 to 17. Now, I believe in standing for the reading of God's word. So why don't we just stand as we look at this here this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 17 says this. Be imitators. There it is. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now live as light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what God's will is. Father, thank you. Your word is so relevant to us here today, and we thank you for it. We thank you that you have given it to us as a guidance for our lives, and I pray as we look into it today and as we take some time to examine what you have to say, Father, that we would be imitators of what is written here and that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So what does it look like to imitate Mom as she imitates or follows her Heavenly Father? Well, first of all, you got to imitate love. It says, be imitators of God. Okay, so we have to live a life of love. We have to live a life. Now, let's be honest. Moms, you're probably better than that, than us dads at times. Because we just say, suck it up, princess, get over it, right? Come on, dads. But moms, you have a little bit more compassion than we do. What are the ingredients that are required for imitating love? Well, first of all, he talks about purity. It starts on your wedding day. Actually, it starts a long time before that. There's the prep stuff, the months that go into planning. And on your wedding day, ladies, you get dressed up in such a way it takes away the breath. Come on, guys, that takes away the breath of the groom. And you look something like this. Come on. My wife up front is not liking this. You're like, when I first saw her, woo-hoo! You know what I'm talking about. Okay, I've got to get back to this here for a second here. But it has to start with a life of purity. And see, this is what it looks like. In verse 3, it says, among you, there must not be even a hint, not even a hint of sexual immorality, impurity, greed, because these are improper for God's people. Sexual immorality, the term in the original language includes stuff like premarital sex, extramarital sex, incest. It includes homosexuality, bestiality, and the use of pornography. He's saying to us, hey, listen, if you want to imitate God, this can't be there. If you want to have a relationship that honors God, those things cannot have even a small part in your life. I read about a man who was having issues with pornography. And he thought, man, I've had enough of this stuff. So he went and got himself one of those programs, such as Covenant Eyes, that you put on your computer, and then it is monitored by people to see what kind of stuff that you are looking at. And he thought, you know what I'm going to do? Because I don't want to have this problem anymore. I'm going to get it monitored by my mother. Hallelujah. He said, take that, Satan. Ha! Because mom is watching me, right? Listen, we need to make sure we keep our lives pure, no matter how difficult it may be to take that step and say, I'm going to put the right things in place. Purity is so, so important. We all know who Ted Bundy is. He was a serial killer who raped and took the lives of more than 30 people. And he, in the 1970s, and he had an interview with Dr. James Dobson just literally hours before he was taken, before he was put onto the electric chair. And Ted said that his life, his problems started with pornography. It started with softcore porn. And he started watching pornographic stuff, reading pornographic stuff, not watching so much in the 70s, but reading stuff or looking at pictures. And then he said it slowly digressed from there, where he wanted to act out on it. And then he did act out on it. And he took the lives of many people. But he said this. He said that he was in this facility, and he says, there, without exception, he says, every person I have met in prison were motivated to commit violent acts like we did, were deeply involved in pornography. It's not that if you're going to be involved in pornography, it's going to lead to serial killing. But the point is that if we allow immorality, impurity into our lives, it will lead to devastating effects. Mom, thank you for leading a life of purity. And I encourage you to model that. Folks, we need to model a life of purity in what we look at. But not just what we look at, what we say as well. Paul goes on to say there should not be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. One commentary that I read says there's two indications that really show us what kind of person you are. The first one is what do you laugh about? And secondly, what do you cry about? What makes you laugh? What makes you cry? See, because if we're laughing about stuff that is inappropriate, there's a problem there. You hear me? There's a problem there. If we are not crying about things that are inappropriate and about injustice, there is a problem there. And we need to examine. Lord, help me to examine my character so I am listening to the right thing. So what about what am I saying? What comes out of our mouths? Do we say things that are inappropriate and that shouldn't be said? I know what happened when I said things inappropriately at home. Moms, you know what I'm talking about? If your kid said something inappropriate, actually, I read about a mother that was invited out to an anniversary dinner. And what she didn't realize was that there was a comedian that was asked to participate in this anniversary dinner. And he used language and stories that were very, very inappropriate. And about halfway through the show, he said, could somebody please get me a glass of water? He was getting parched. And mom stood up and said, and could somebody get him a bar of soap and a toothbrush at the same time? Because he needs that as well. And you know what? Sometimes we need a bar of soap and a toothbrush, don't we? To clean out what's coming out of our mouth. So folks, be careful what you say. Be careful of what you watch. We need, imitating love means, first of all, it means purity. Secondly, it means rejection. Rejection. Now we don't really think about rejection as something about imitating love, but stick with me here, because there are some things that we need to reject. It says here in verse 5, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, Such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. See, in Paul's time, there were people going around who were saying, you know what? Sin isn't such a bad thing. It's not so bad. God will forgive you. Come on. And anyway, the more sin that you commit, the more grace God can show you. It would be me, like me walking up to Pastor Les here this morning and giving a slap across the face, and then another slap across the face, and then another, because I know he's going to forgive me, and go back. At what point in time does that go from grace to abuse? You know what I'm saying? And see, this is the same thing when it comes to our life. If God has made it very clear to us, which he has in Scripture, there are things that we need to stay away from, reject, then let me tell you, we need to reject it with every part of our being. Folks, I look at my own mother and my own, I think of my grandmother, I'll talk about her in a little bit here as well, and how imperative it was for them to remain free from sin, to not allow sin into their lives. And I want to encourage you, can you, first of all, mom, everybody, let's just open it to everybody here. Can you imitate Christ in such a way that you reject those things that God wants you to stay away from? Reject sin. Love is about purity, it's about rejection, it's thirdly about transparency. Verse 7 says, therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were, this is amazing, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. I find that very interesting because it doesn't say that you contain darkness. It doesn't say that there is dark things inside of you. It says you were darkness. In the sight of God, when he looked at us in our sin nature, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. I know of an individual that has gone to some classes, and in this classes they were trying to help him discover more about himself by looking deep within himself. Because see, here's the thing, the deeper you look inside yourself, the more free you will be. How many of you know if you look deep inside yourself, it's not pretty down there? Huh? Am I alone? I know that if I'm looking deep within myself, I'm going to find a lot of yuck stuff down there that I want God to take care of. It's not going to release me to try to discover my deepness. I want to discover my Lord and Savior. If I put him in my life, that's where I receive the freedom. We were darkness in the Lord. But through him, through his incredible intervention, he took that sin, that darkness, that evil that was in us, and he transformed us into that incredible, incredible light that comes from having a relationship with Jesus. And Paul says here, he says, look, you were there. God has set you free. Now find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases him. My Oma, she so loved Jesus. And I've said this before here. She used to come to me frequently. And she used to say to me, Wesley, she said it that way, Wesley, bist du bekehrt? Now, all of you know what that means, right? Yeah. Bist du bekehrt means, are you saved? Have you given your life to Jesus? Yeah, Oma, I am bekehrt. I am saved. But she would ask me that frequently because she wanted to make sure there wasn't darkness in me. And she says, listen, if you are bekehrt, if you are saved, you got to show it. You got to live it. You got to show a life of goodness, righteousness, and truth, as Paul says here in verse 9. It's got to be evident in your life. You know what I love about, when I look at my mom and my grandma and so forth, when I look at their heritage, I could see that. That goodness, righteousness, faith, and truth in their life. Because they were living it, they were walking it out. Paul says, live such a life. He says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather, expose them. He says, don't go where you shouldn't go. Don't go back to that darkness thing. As a kid, you know this story. As a kid, I didn't always listen. How many of you as a kid didn't always listen? Why am I the only one with my hand up? As a kid, I didn't always listen. And I got myself wrapped up with the wrong friends. And as I got wrapped up with the wrong friends, they pulled me into the wrong stuff. And you all know the story, I think, anyways, where I was driving down the road in my dad's Cougar, Ford Cougar, beautiful car. Good power. It was fun to drive. My friend reached over and said, let me steer. How many of you know that's not a good idea to let your friend in the front seat steer? Well, he grabbed the steering wheel, let me steer. I said, okay. And then he steered me right into a telephone pole. And I wrapped the car around the telephone pole. Those friends disappeared very quickly. I didn't see him much after that. I spent many, many, many years paying off the insurance because of my mistake. See, here's the thing. You walk into darkness, someone's going to steer you into a pool. You following me? Somebody's going to steer you into a direction you don't want to go. Live a life that is transparent. Don't allow darkness to find its place in your life. Moms, can I encourage you? Can I encourage you? Be transparent. When you get frustrated, and it's going to happen. If you got kids like me, you're going to get frustrated. But when that happens, ask God to help you to remain pure and not to lose it. Live a life of love. Secondly, imitate love, imitate wisdom is what I encourage you. Now, I wanted to work with this picture. I don't know why they consider an owl wise. I don't know. So I thought I'd work with it and manipulate it. So if you go to the next picture, I thought I'd go like this. Is it not up there? Go to the next slide. Oh, see, maybe it's God. God kept me from it because I superimposed Michelle's face on it. Maybe that's a good thing. That's a God thing. Go back to the other. Yeah, no, to the slide there. Okay, thank you. It says, be very careful. I'm gonna live to regret this. Verse 15. Be very careful then how you live. The King James Version says, see that you walk circumspectly. I like that. I like that word because circumspectly apparently means to look around, to keep your eyes open to what's going on around you. We tell, when we teach our kids how to drive, we tell them, watch out what's happening around you. Observe the car in front of you. Watch the bike rider beside you. Make sure you see the light that's been, it's been green for a while. It's a stale green. Make sure that you're ready to stop. Watch what is happening around you. My mom used to always tell me that I should watch where I'm walking. It's probably good to watch where you're driving as well. Like the time that I wasn't watching when I was driving my bicycle. How many of you know driving your bicycle looking back like this is not a good idea? Yeah, so I did it. And I'm driving, I don't know what I was looking for. I don't know, because I know what I was not looking at. And that was ahead of me. And I drove right into a parked car. It's not a good idea. Not a good idea. So watch what's going on around you. See, that's not just about how you drive and how you walk. It's how you live. How you live out your relationship with Jesus. It wasn't that funny, Katrina. How do you live out your relationship with Jesus? It says, be careful that you live in a way that honors God and make the most of every opportunity. The idea of making the most of every opportunity is being observant of those things that come your way and grabbing onto them. The things that God brings into your pathway. There's an old Chinese proverb that says this, opportunity has a forelock. Forelock is the hair in front of the head, like in this picture of this horse. It has a forelock, so you can seize it when you meet it. But once it's passed, you cannot seize it any longer. See, here's the thing. When opportunity comes to you and God puts something in your road, grab onto it. Grab onto it. Seize the opportunity, especially when it comes to spiritual matters. Grab onto it because you never know how quickly it's going to pass you by. Paul says here, make the most of every opportunity. Our word opportunity comes from the word, and the Latin word means towards the port, going towards the port. It's a picture of a ship putting up its sails and getting pushed in that last little bit to make sure it makes it home. How many of you know we need the wind of the Spirit in our sails to help us be pushed towards home? Moms, can I encourage you, set that example. Get your sails filled with the Holy Spirit, the presence and the power of the Spirit, that you can be pushed on towards that port, towards that place that God wants you to be. Wisdom is listening for and looking for those places, those opportunities in our lives that we can move forward. Wisdom is understanding that the days that we are living in, as Paul says here, the days are evil. You know, grandma wanted to see me following Jesus. My mom wanted me to follow Jesus. Why? Because they knew that, Wes, you're not going to make it in your own strength. You're not going to do it. The challenges are too overwhelming for you to make it on your own. You need to be following the Word of God. And folks, we are living in an incredibly unbelievable time. Right? You look at what's going on today in our society. You look at the fact that they're pushing for Sharia law in some provinces in our country and in some places in the world that's become, I'm not talking about the Muslim countries, I'm talking about Western countries where Sharia law has been implemented. We're living in a society right now where a child is able, or they're pushing through the Soji agenda, where a child is able to explain or discover who they are, male, female, or whatever in between, that they're encouraging young ones as young as 4 and 5 years old to say, I don't think I'm a boy, I think I'm a girl. We're living in a society right now, we're in California. How many of you heard of what's going on down in California with the laws that they're trying to push right now, that anything that is considered to be opposed to the LGBT is considered illegal? So you cannot in any way present something to help someone within that community because that's considered illegal. And if you do, there's repercussions. How many of you know that the Bible speaks against homosexuality? So as we continue to think of how this will logically progress, when will it be before the Bible will be considered illegal? We are living in a society that a lot of people in our society have no idea. No idea what this is all about, this book called the Bible, and who this Jesus is. At our conference, we are at a general conference this week, and one of the speakers, he was saying that he was talking to people in his community around Easter time, and he asked them, what's Easter all about? And some of them said to him, isn't that the day that Jesus or God was born or something like that? And he said to them, well, hang on a second. Have you ever gone to church? No. Okay. Has your parents ever gone to church? No. How about your grandparents, uncles, aunts, somebody in the family? No. We're living in a very, very, very post-Christian society where people don't get the basic stuff about this book. That's what we're living in right now, folks. And you know, here's the thing. It's up to you. It's up to you to make that clear to the people around us. We are living in evil days. And people are looking for some guidance. As Mom guided us through some of those challenging times, God is asking you to be a spiritual parent to people out there that don't really know anything about the hope that you and I have in Christ. So folks, I want to encourage you that you have to be wise in this society. You have to be wise in how you live and what you follow. And you have to be wise in how you work out, live out your life. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 5:17, he says, don't be foolish. Anybody hear their mom say that before? I have. But understand what God's will is. I love that word, understand. You know why? Because it means that it's something you can discover. It's not ambiguous. God's will isn't out there someplace in the nebulae, out there in space. But you can discover what God's will is for your life. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, Micah 6:8. You know it. He has shown you, oh man, oh woman, what is good. And what does God require of you? It's pretty simple. Here's God's will. You want it? Here it is. Real simple. Act justly. Be willing to be engaged in social concerns. Love mercy. Be freely and willing to show kindness to people around you. Walk humbly with your God. Make God priority, not you. Amen. Oh, I sure love it when you say amen. Amen? Yeah, we need to live in a way that honors Christ. That's God's will. It's not complicated. And you can discover that in your own life. You need to understand that God has a plan and a purpose and a future for you. Moms, are you imitating your father? Moms, are you imitating your heavenly father? Are you setting an example for others to follow? If you're not a mom here, can I ask you, are you imitating your heavenly father? Are you imitating him in all that you do and all that you are? Do you go to God's word and discover what he has for you? Do you take the time and say, God, I need to hear from you today. Speak to me so I can imitate the plans, the things that you have for me in here. But see, this is the thing. You can only imitate someone if you're watching them. And you can only imitate God if you're listening and hearing from him through his word. So in closing, I'm just going to ask you today to take an examination of your life. To examine your own heart today. To look to the Spirit of God and say, Father, are there areas where I have fallen short? Can I encourage you as moms here this morning? This is, in fact, Mother's Day. Can I encourage you this morning? You know what? You may not always get it right. God knows we don't always get it right. But can I encourage you to keep going, to set an example for others to follow? And can I encourage us as a family here of believers to spur each other on to love and towards good deeds? That's what God wants from us. So Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. I pray you would help us to truly examine our hearts. Father, show us if there are areas there that we need to get right. And Father, help us not to become weary. When we're doing the right stuff and it feels like we're pushing a stone uphill and it feels like we just can't go on, Lord, help us not to give up, but to trust you that you will help us to be overcomers and not to be overcome with evil as we press on in you. Lord, I pray for blessing upon the mothers here this morning. Lord, every single individual, every single person here today that has given of themselves as a mom, has raised children in the best of their ability, maybe as we've prayed earlier, maybe had lost children or whatever, would you just minister and encourage and empower and strengthen them to carry on and help them to imitate you? Father, help us all to imitate you so that others would see that example and they would follow after us as well. So I pray blessing on your people today. And if you're here this morning and in just the closing moments, if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what, there are areas in my life I really need God's strength in. I have fallen short. And I've heard what was said here this morning. There's been stuff that I've done that is not right. And I just need some prayer. I want to pray for you here this morning. And if that's you, you can just put up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Is there anybody here saying, yeah, you know what? There are areas I got to get right. They're not worthy. I'm not where I should be in these areas. Can I ask you to put up your hand? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you can put down your hands. Father, you see these hands, and they represent individuals, individual situations, individual frustrations, individual maybe shortcomings. Father, you see every one of these people. Spirit of God, you know what the need is. You know what the challenge is. And I pray, Father, would you help them to be able to overcome these challenges, not in their own strength, but through the power of God, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So I pray blessing on these people, Father, and I pray victory in their lives in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to stand at this point in time. We're going to sing a closing song. We've got something for all the moms. Don't run away without getting something. If you put up your hand and you want some further prayer, the pastors are here. We'd love to pray with you. Thank you for joining us today. Do something good for your moms today. We pray blessing on you.